Friend, you may go to your classes. Thank you. Could I have my slide, please? The first one. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you once again that we can come to your house to learn of your word. Lord, we know that your word is powerful, living, and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to do something deep in our life. So I pray, Father, for every word that I speak, you anoint. For every word that your people hear, they will receive. And every word that is spoken, Lord, will accomplish your purpose and your will. We desire to grow to be more like Jesus. We desire to grow to be a wholesome person you have created us to be. So I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be present here to glorify the Father and to glorify the Son, Jesus. So take your word to accomplish, Lord, your purpose and your will. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. There are a couple of scriptures that we would like to read, and then I will go into this sermon proper. The first scripture is taken from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. If you have a Bible, please refer to that verse. You are ready? Just say, yeah. All right, thank you. All right, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? All right, I repeat. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Romans chapter 5, verse 8, that is our next scripture reference. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then we go on to Ephesians chapter 1. We are read from verse 3 to verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The verse that I'm going to emphasize from this text is the last verse here, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So you are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in Christ Jesus. And furthermore, just as additional text, it's not on this slide, but chapter 2, the next chapter, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. All right, that ends the reading. I'm now going into the first sermon proper. As you are aware, I'm going through this Freedom in Christ series, and so far I've covered freedom in Christ. From depression, from uncontrolled anger, from worry, from guilt complex. And this morning, I'm going to cover freedom in Christ from rejection complex. Rejection complex. Now, you notice that I'm covering all these emotional areas in the area of depression, in the area of anger, worry, guilt, so on and so forth. It's because my heart desire for all of you here is that you receive wholeness in your life, spirit, soul, and body, because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. Now, rejection complex affects almost everyone, And as according to statistics, it affects maybe about 1 in 5. That means 20% of the people that are out there suffer in one way or another one form of rejection complex. The reason why many people suffer from such a complex is because of the unhealthy trend in our society and in our nation, because there is an increasing breakup of families and relationship, as you can as you notice in the contemporary society. Now, all of us experience rejection at one time or another in our life. Some of it is minor and some of it is major, but some of these rejection experiences are very devastating in the sense that it affects your life, it affects your relationship with your fellow brothers and sisters, with the people around you, and it affects the relationship, your relationship with God. Now, some of the rejection experiences that I like to give an example. For example, the minor ones would be not being chosen for in the sports team, not included in a particular group of friends, or not given the job that you wanted so much, and perhaps being the first one to be retrenched from your job. These are the more what they call not so devastating experiences, but the more painful ones would be in this category. You know, being given away and adopted by another family. You felt that you are not wanted by your biological parents. Or you also, perhaps you grow up and then later on you are being abandoned by your parents. Or when you grew up in a family undergoing abuse. Abuse in terms of verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sometimes even sexual abuse. And you feel very much rejected because you grow through that environment. And maybe you grow through what you call, you're brought up in a family where your brothers or sister is favored above you. So there is a sense of rejection in you. Or you may have a girl-boy relationship where you are being tutored. Or you may go through a very bitter experience like a divorce. All these things are very traumatic and very painful. And there is a sense of rejection. And it can leave an inner wound in your heart. And this kind of wound is very hard to bear. Now, that is why it is very accurately described in this verse that we just read. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. He says that the spirit of man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Now, many of us can put up with a wounded body, an external wound. But he says a wounded spirit or a wounded soul is often unbearable affliction. This is because the inner wound is much deeper and much more painful than the external wounds. Now, what is rejection? I'll come give you a very basic definition of rejection. Rejection means being unwanted. You have a sense of being cast out. So that is point number one. Thank you, PowerPoint. So rejection will cause an inner, what they call emotional wound. It will happen in our life. When it happens, right, we need to know how to handle it. Now, being rejected, I want to qualify, by people is not the issue, it's not the sin. Everyone experiences it. But it is the way that we handle and respond to rejection that is the issue that I'm discussing in this morning's sermon. Because if it happens in our life and we do not know how to handle it in a mature way, it will grow, it will fester into a spiritual wound. And this spiritual wound may eventually open up to what they call distressing spirit or evil spirit to take advantage and to exploit the situation. So if unresolved and left to fester, the enemy will try to capitalize on the situation, on this emotional pain that you have, and try to inflame bitterness and then cause you to have a certain behavior, a reactive behavior towards your people and towards even yourself and towards God. Now, there is a basis for this. For that, I would like to read you from a portion of the scripture, and it's taken from 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 to verse 11, please. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 to verse 11. This is a story about King Saul. The context was Israel had a battle with the Philistine, and they came back from the battle being victorious. And then here, from verse 7 to verse 11, it says, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 to verse 11. Now, first, verse 7 says that, so the woman sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry, and the saying pleased, displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? So saw I David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. Now this is a story that, as I said, the nation of Israel went war with the Philistine, and they were victorious. And after that, they came back from the war, there was a cheering party, and then the women, they were singing this song, and then they were ascribing the greatness of David, you know, as 10,000s, and then Saul only 1,000. And so King Saul, even though David was serving King Saul was very, very upset. He was very, very angry. He was very displeased. And I believe that there's a period of time he was so bad that they perhaps bitterness has eaten him up, so on and so forth. Until a point in time, he said there was a day that the distressing spirit came and began to oppress him. And that was the time that he opened himself up to the evil and demonic spirit. And then he began to exhibit all kinds of behavior. He was so, envious of David that there were two occasions at least that he used a spear and tried to kill David, who was serving him faithfully. So this is something very real, because he was rejected. Because he was rejected in the sense that the people ascribed David to be greater than him, and therefore he could not take it. And there was a deep wound that was inside his soul and inside his spirit. He could not handle it. And finally, he went into this, what they call, rejection complex. And therefore, it is very important for us to realize how to know, how to handle rejection. Otherwise, the impact in our life can be very adverse and detrimental to our well-being. Now, why does rejection have such a destructive power? Now, this is because man was first created with an emotional need of acceptance, of love and care. We are created not only to be loved, to be cared and to be accepted. We are also created in turn to love and to care for one another. And rejection attacks the person that we are created to be, because it destroys our value. It destroys our worthiness. It attacks who we are, and it is what you call, it attacks our whole sense of our wholeness and our meaning in life. And there is a verse in the scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to verse 19. It puts it this way. It says that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In short, this scripture is saying that we need to be rooted and grounded in love of God, to know the love of God, so that what? So that we may fully experience the fullness of God in our life. That is the gist of this particular verse. Now, any person, which means to say any person, who does not, but who has never experienced acceptance and love, cannot be rooted and grounded in love. The Bible puts it this way. You know, we love Him, or we love God, because He first loved us. Now, God is love. And when God loves us, we receive that love. We receive that source of that love. And then we are able to, in turn, love others. So if you have not received and experienced love, whether from your parents, from anyone, it is very, very difficult for you to, what they call, give out love, to dispense love, right? That is the gist of it. So the result of mishandling rejection is the inability, what we call to receive and to communicate love. Now, God wants us to know how much He loves us, how much He cares for us, so that we are able to live out the fullness of God that He has ordained for us. And therefore, the wounded spirit that arose or arising out of rejection, if it is left unresolved, will result in a behavioral complex that will vary from one person to another. So I'm going to go through one or more of these following complex. What are some of the common symptoms of rejection complex? The first thing is perhaps inferiority complex. You are rejecting self. You know, you feel you're living a life of self-pity, misery, and isolation. You are withdrawn from the people because you felt very much rejected. This could be some of the response that you, behavioral response that you give out. Or you, because of rejection, you have this strong sense of worthlessness, despair, and even insecurity. I note the word strong sense. And then perhaps you have a fear of men because you are now very overly concerned about what people think of you. So you go into this fear. And then the second syndrome that you can possibly suffer from is the defensive syndrome. Now you're trying to build perhaps walls around you. You become very defensive. You know, you are unable to be corrected and to receive constructive criticism. And everyone, if anyone says anything about you, you're very, very defensive. The first thing is you defend yourself. You don't take time to listen to their comments, to their feedback. And then another aspect is perhaps there is this fabricated personality, being somebody that you are not. You're putting a mask, trying to be pretentious, putting a facade. And then the third aspect is the opposite, is you try to be, you know, you have a superiority syndrome. You're trying to fight back. Essentially, that is what it is. Try to fight back. You have a rebellious trait and trying to always oppose and make things difficult for other people. And or perhaps you adopt a very highly opinionated personality. You know, always need to be right about certain things. Very strong in your personality. Very proud and very aggressive. Or perhaps another reaction would be you harbor hatred against people. And there is envy and there's jealousy. Just in the case of King Saul, the story that we just read. And then the fourth way is what I call performance trap. You are trapped in this performance mentality, trying hard to please someone or prove yourself to be somebody. The tendency to do things to please people and to impress others so that you can be accepted. So you're starving for this acceptance and approval of men. So you want to do things to prove that you are somebody, to show that you are somebody. So this may be one or more of the ways that you exhibit the kind of behavior, what I call the symptoms of rejection complex. Now, if you look at all these symptoms, you actually ask yourself, what is the root of this rejection complex? The root of the rejection complex is actually a misplaced identity. It's an issue is about identity. Now, let me explain. So rejection tries to destroy a person's self-worth and self-identity. And when the person succumbs to that destructive power, they have bought into this lie of a misplaced and misguided self-identity. Essentially, that is what it is. And they begin to, what they call, exhibit this rejection complex. So take, for example, inferiority syndrome that I've just talked about, rejecting self. Now, basically, you have lost, in this case, you have lost your self-worth. You have lost your self-identity. You don't like who you are. And therefore, you have this strong sense of worthlessness, despair, and insecurity. You can you can't even forgive yourself for some of the mistakes that you make in life. And the other category symptom would be superiority complex. Superiority complex is essentially a misplaced identity because you're now trying to base your identity on who you are, on your ability to have your way in everything that you want. You always think that you are right. Therefore, you have a hard time admitting that you are wrong or receive constructive criticism. And then, what about performance track? Performance track, again, a trap again is a misplaced identity, because now you're trying to base your identity on who you are, on how well you perform at something in life. Now you're trying to derive your self-worth and significance based on the performance to gain the approval and the acceptance by others. So whenever we base our self-worth on our performance, it will be a blow to our identity. Or whenever we base our identity on something or somebody else, or even what we think of ourselves or what people think of you, now you're making yourself vulnerable to the damage of rejection may do to you. So it is interesting. Now, if you observe, when Jesus became man and he walked on earth, and then at the age of 30, when he launched into public ministry after he was baptized in water, and then he went into the wilderness and he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. And then there are three temptations that the devil was launching against the Lord Jesus. And the first two temptations was actually trying to attack the self-identity of Jesus. And then Jesus was very hungry, so he challenged Jesus. He says that if you are the Son of God, he says, turn these stones into bread. So, trying to get Jesus to say that if prove yourself through this miracle, through this act that you can perform, that you are the Son of God by turning this stone into bread. And then the next temptation was also attack against his identity. And he brought Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple, very high up. And he says that the word of God says that, you know, God has given charge over you. And therefore you throw yourself down. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down that you will not die, because the angels are all to help you and to protect you. So, very, very interesting example. The devil was trying to attack his identity. Now, Jesus did not have to perform this miracle to prove himself that he is the Son of God, because he knows his true identity. He knows who he is. And even though God became man, he put on humanity, he knows that he is the Son of God. And there is no need for him to prove to anyone that, you know, by doing anything that he is the Son of God. So he will do it on his own will and on his own accord, and not to prove, but to minister to other people. So when this temptation, you know, was thrown at him, he did not yield to this temptation. So if self-identity is very important, now we need to kind of talk more about knowing your primary identity. Knowing your primary identity is very, very important. Now, many of us place our identity on our parents, on our pastors, what they think of us, on our friends, what they think of us. Now, this will set you up into a lot of problems, because this will set you up into what I call performance trap. Why? Because any moment, if there's any hint of disapproval coming from these people concerning you, it's going to hurt you real bad, because you have chosen to make that the source of your identity. So the question I want to ask is, what or who defines who you are? Is it your job? Is it what people think of you? Is it what your friends think of you? Now, is it how well you perform in your workplace? Or is it how much money you have? Is it how good grades that you get in the schools or in the university? Or is it even what you think of yourself? Or is it how physically strong you are? How tall and handsome you are? How pretty you are? Now, mind you, all these things are not constant. They are transient and they change over time. And when you die, all these things are not important and they will not define who you are. So the key to overcoming rejection complex is to solve your identity issue. Now, that is why it is virtually very vital that we understand who God has made us to be and who we are as new creation in Christ Jesus. We are never to live apart from God, because we are created in His image. And sometimes you are puzzled. Lord, it is a paradox. Lord, you say that you created us and you've given us a life. And yet the scripture tells us to deny ourselves, you know, to take up the cross. And these things seem to be a paradox to you. Now, you only find full fulfillment in your life If you go back to the original intent, in creation, because we are created in the image of God, our life and our fulfillment is only what we call complete when we go back to the original design and the architecture that God has designed us to be. Because we are first created in His image. Therefore, we need to go back to that image. So when we base our identity upon what the Word of God has to say about us, then we become immune from the wounds of rejection complex. Now, God's love for you is not based upon your performance. Let it be very clear. God's love for you is not based on your performance, but based on the fact that you are His children. You are son of the living God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, stop seeking your significance and your acceptance through your performance and or through the approval of others. God has provided for you a sense of love, a sense of significance, and a sense of acceptance apart from your ability to perform. That is why Romans chapter 5 verse 8 that we just read, God demonstrates His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, God did not come and show His love while we were fully righteous. He came, He demonstrated this His love by dying on the cross for us while we were His enemy. While we were yet sinners, He died for us. That is what the scriptures say. And therefore, you may have messed up your life, and you can come back to God in repentance. God will not reject you. You will come back to Him in repentance. He loves you as you are, and He will give you the grace to grow in righteousness. So, God knows some of you are struggling in this area of rejection complex. There may be some of you here who are emotionally, who are relationally, who are, you know, spiritually wounded. But you may choose to ignore it, hoping that time will heal. But it has not healed. It does not seem to heal. So what do I do? And some of you, what do you do? So some of you may be wounded, but you're afraid to confront this pain that is inside you. And because you are afraid to turn on the light and to expose the reality of this inner wound and inner pain. Or there may be some of you who have grown up with this pain and you have accepted the abnormal as normal. And you have subconsciously developed what we call elaborate mechanism to block out the pain. And you choose not to confront the truth because it may be too painful for you. I have a good news for you. And Jesus Christ is able to help you, and He wants you to confront and resolve this particular issue head on. And He has a solution for your problem. The cross is the solution to your problem. Now, Jesus' solution, or God's solution for every of our problem, for the human, for the fallen human nature, comes from the cross. And there are seven bleeding of Jesus on the cross. From the moment of the time of Gethsemane to the cross, there were seven bleeding. And each of the seven bleeding was for a purpose. And there was one, the very last bleeding that comes from the side of Jesus when He was crucified on the cross. And the soldiers began to pierce the side of Jesus. And then the Bible recorded for us, there was distinct blood and water that flow out from His side. Now, medically speaking, that was a coagulation of the blood. And that's why you see a distinct flow of water and blood. Which means to say, medically speaking, if this is the, phenomena, then it points to the fact that Jesus died of a ruptured heart. And that is why it caused a coagulation of the blood. Which means to say, Jesus died of a broken heart. And that blood that oozed out from the side is for your inner healing. For those who have, you know, been wounded and your heart was broken. That was the significance. And therefore, the blood on the cross that is coming from His side is meant to heal those who are broken hearted. So if you are feeling, if you're experiencing this inner wound and this broken heart that arises out of rejection, some of this incident, God knows and God understands it all. He knows how you feel. He experienced the rejection Himself. In fact, Jesus experienced rejection twice. And there was once He was rejected by His people. And that is why Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3 says, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we did not esteem Him. And there was another scripture, John chapter 1 verse 11 says, He came to His own people, and His own did not receive Him. So this is the rejection experience, the first rejection experience that the Lord Jesus experienced for Himself. And also the second rejection was when He was on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now this was because at that point, all the sins of humanity and all the filth of humanity has been put upon Him. And Jesus, who knew no sin, was made a sin for us. And for at that particular moment, the Father had to turn His face against the Son, because He cannot kind of look at sin and all the filth of the sin, you know, at Jesus. And therefore He has to turn His face to forsake Jesus during those moments. And Jesus had to bear all the agony and all the heartache of our rejection. And comfort and healing is available at the cross for the inner wounds inside you. And He came to heal the brokenhearted. That was one of the main ministry. One of it is, He came to heal the brokenhearted. Recorded for us in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And therefore, He provided acceptance as a remedy in exchange for the rejection complex that you and I may possibly suffer. And therefore, the scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, that we are accepted in the beloved, and we are not rejects, we are not second-class citizens, we are not just servants, we are His children, we are royalty, we are sons and daughters of the living God. So, in conclusion, I want to give you what are the three key steps. How can you be free from rejection complex? Now, step number one is this. You need to be honest with God regarding this issue. If you know in your hearts that you have been wounded inside, and somehow this wound is unresolved, then you know you have this issue. If you look at the the rejection complex, you may be suffering from one or more of those things. But even if it's not in that list, it's not an exhaustive list. You know, there are many more. I'm just giving you an example. But if you know in the hearts of hearts that you have this inner hurt inside because of rejection, then it is still unresolved. Then you need to be honest with God and say, Lord, you know, I need help. Because when Jesus came to minister, He said, only those who are sick, you know, need a physician. And therefore, you be honest with God. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you all the past incidents that have marred or that have wounded your heart. And ask Him to come and heal this broken heart. Receive God's comfort and forgiveness. So be prepared to confront over this past incident in your transaction with God. And the second thing is, you need to forgive others who have hurt you or who have rejected you. And Jesus taught us in our prayer, you know, we forgive others as Jesus has forgiven us, as God has forgiven us. So for those who have rejected or hurt you, you know, you need to forgive them. Forgiving those who hurt us or rejected us is not an easy thing to do, because your feeling of pain and hurt is saying, how, no way, how can I forgive, you know, for what he or she has done to me? Now, forgiveness, brothers and sisters, is not an emotion. It is a decision. It is a choice that you make. It is, of course, not a natural thing to do. But when you choose and you decide and ask God to give you the grace to forgive, you are able to forgive. So don't say, I can't. No, the truth of the matter is, in your heart, you are saying, I wouldn't. If you can say, I wouldn't, then you can also say, I will. And if you can say, I choose to forgive so and so. Now, it is good. It is for your good. It is for your sake that you need to forgive the one who have hurt or rejected you. Because you are not doing the other person a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. Now, remember, Jesus, for all the rejection and all the things that they did to Him, You know, he was crucified on the cross, and yet the first saying of Jesus on the cross is, "Forgive them, for they not know what they are doing." So that is step number two. You need to forgive. And then the step number three is, you need to renew your mind regarding your self-identity. That's why a lot of things in our mind has been what we call programmed wrongly when we grow up through this fallen world. You need to renew your mind with the Word of God. And there is a verse in Psalm 23, verse 3, it says that He came to restore our soul. Which means to say something, you know, things has been marred, our soul, our spirit have been marred. And God's purpose through Christ Jesus, through His ministry, through His Word, is to restore your soul. In the area, one area of your soul is your mind, your mindset. So, the first thing that you need to know is, know your identity in Christ Jesus from God's Word, not from any other word. The God's Word, which is truth. So, the first thing you need to know is, God loves you, God forgives for what the wrong that you have done, and God justifies you in Christ Jesus. And that's why He died on the cross for you. And therefore, you are righteous and you are accepted in Christ Jesus. That is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 22 to verse 25. At your own time, you can refer to that scripture. But the key verse that we have read is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. You are accepted in the Beloved. Now, you may have messed up your life. Now, you allow Him to come into your life to clean it up so that you can grow in righteousness. And even for your future failure that you may possibly stumble into, God has provided that, provided a solution for you. You can always, once you have fallen, you can come back to God and say, "Lord, I have messed up this time, forgive me, I repent." And then the moment you say that, you will bounce back so that you can grow in your Christian walk. You can grow from faith to faith, strength to strength, and glory to glory. And that pardon also has been provided for in the future. So number two is, you need to renew your mind to know that now you are the son and daughters of the living God. You are the prince and princess elect. Your name is written in the book of life. Now you are the child of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, destined to rule and reign with Christ Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to verse 17, it says that there is this Holy Spirit in us and bearing us witness that we are the son of the living God. And if you are sons of the living God, then you are joint heir with Christ Jesus. That means you are, you know, joint heir with Christ, and therefore you are the prince and princess elect. And you need to renew your mind in this particular area. You are being groomed for a role in the new heaven and the new earth as royalty. And the third thing is, you have become a VIP. Very important person. Now, why is that so? Now, you know that all important person, they have bodyguards. When you become the son and daughters of the living God, your name is written in the book of life. The Bible says that God assigned angels over you. That is why Psalms 91, He has given angels charge over you. So wherever you go, there are bodyguards that are behind you or in front of you. You may not see it with your eyes, but it is a reality. Right now, there are hundreds of bodyguards out there, because there are about 80, 90 people of us. And all the bodyguards are out there, you may not see with your eyes, but they are real. Now, can you see oxygen? You cannot see. But is it real? It is real, because you breathe oxygen every minute, every second of your life. Can you see carbon dioxide? You can't. But you're breathing out carbon dioxide every moment of your life. So a lot of things that you do not see doesn't mean that if you cannot see means it is not real. They are real. And therefore, the Bible says that He has given angels over you, means you are a very important person. Even more important, far more important than the non-Christian, because now you're going to have bodyguard everywhere you go. Angels on my left, on my right, protecting you, guiding, you know, certain directions in your life. So you need to renew your mind in this area.
And then the third area is you are God's masterpiece, beautifully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139. The verse that we have just read, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that you are God's workmanship. Now, you are God's masterpiece. God does not make junks. You are His masterpiece and you are His work of art. And you go to the art gallery, all those, you know, famous artists, how beautiful those things. And those are just ordinary human beings. But you are God's creation. And therefore, don't say that I'm not beautiful, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too fat, I'm too thin. No! You are God's masterpiece. And therefore, you need to renew your mind in this area. And then the fifth renewal of your mind is you need to know that your primary self-identity is in Christ Jesus. And whatever, you know, your current family, economic or social career status, that is not important. Don't say that, oh, I'm only a road sweeper and therefore I'm not important. You are important based on all the four or five points that I've just listed because your primary identity is in Christ Jesus. And that you have to remember. And therefore, having known that, having renewed your mind in those areas, your security, your significance, your sufficiency is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is all we need. We just sang that song, you know, during or before the communion. Jesus is all we need. You know, don't need to prove yourself. You don't need to, you know, prove your significance through your works, so on and so forth, because you have Jesus Christ. And once you have Jesus Christ, you are the sons and daughters of the living God. So you begin to see yourself as God says in His Word. In this word written here, black and white, not how you feel. So avoid feeling of inferiority. No, because that comes from rejection. Or sometimes you go to the other extreme, superiority, you know, trying to fight and put on a front. So begin to renew your mind and you meditate on what has been just said. And with this revelation, brothers and sisters, I hope that you begin to be free up from this, to be set free from this rejection complex, and you grow into a steadfast, stable, and a wholesome person in Christ Jesus. So, but bless you. So, I want to minister. I think more important to minister than to prolong the message. So, can I get the musician to come? And God wants to do a transaction with you. And for those who are wounded for some reasons, I encourage you, as the musician play the enclosing song, you come forward. And you do, as I said, the first step is to acknowledge. Acknowledge before God. Say, yes, Lord, I have this pain. I have this wound in my heart. I want to be healed. And I'm struggling. I don't know how. And the second thing is to begin to recall those incidents and begin to forgive. And say verbally, forgive, I forgive so and so who have hurt me, who have rejected me, whatsoever. And I look to the cross. I look to the blood that came forth from the side of Jesus. That is to heal my broken heart. And then, allow God to come into your life. To heal that inner wound. And then begin to, when you go home, begin to practice the third steps. Begin to meditate on what has been said. That you are loved, you are accepted in Christ Jesus, and that you are the son and daughter of the living God. You are the prince and princess elect, and you are VIP because He has given angels charge over you. So shall we stand? Those who have been wounded, please come forward. Allow the Lord to minister to you. My desire.
Something so close to your chest, and the word of God came and it said that you have a distorted